Hey, hey, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. This is your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. Thank you for joining me today on a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as we explore that transformative power of stepping into greatness. It's time to come into alignment with the God-given gifts, unleash your soul, and learn to co-create a life you love. As you become a writer of your own destiny, here in this podcast, you're going to find that inspiration, the practical tips, and that sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You are in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. What's up, you guys? Happy Microdose Monday. I know everything's buzzing because people are going apeshit over the eclipse. I woke up this morning. I tried to record last night before I went to bed and Wi-Fi signal didn't really happen. But between a rainstorm and this tiny, tiny town that we live in, it's just hit or miss. It doesn't matter what I've done or how great the modem is or what backup power I get for the modem. I think it's just always going to be a struggle, and it's fine because we're making it work, right? But anyway, so I go to bed last night a little bit early, and somehow before my alarm woke me up at, I set a few, I finally got up at 5:30. In this period, okay, of my dream state, I literally lived a whole other lifetime. And I don't do that very often. I don't usually, I mean, I don't dream a lot. I'll just be honest. I just don't. And when I do, it's usually something pretty wanky. But last night was still a little wanky. Literally, my husband dumped me. And I was joking about it because obviously, what dumbass would ever dump Brandon Lynette? Okay. And I'm laughing because I sit down to do the podcast and I'm literally telling you guys, like, I went through this whole experience of like, we broke up and, you know, I'm joking about dating and all these things. And I mean, I was laughing my ass off, but it was weird. It was weird because it was like the whole experience and nothing really traumatic happened. I think the trauma would be on my husband's side having to wake up from that. Like, oh my God, I dumped her. But I think the dream, because, you know, I feel like dreams come from either something we watched or something we read or something we talked about. And I was joking yesterday asking my husband if he would choose me in every lifetime. But I can't really ask him that question because who would answer honestly, you guys? It's not like we've committed to spending our lives together. He's not going to be like, oh, I probably wouldn't choose you again. Like, he has to live the rest of his life with me, right? However long or short that is, it's up to him because, I mean, if he gets on my radar and I have to bury his body, that's, it just happens, right? But yeah, it was pretty hilarious. So I recorded this whole podcast episode in my dreams already, just laughing about the fact I got dumped. Okay. I'm going to be 50 in like 5 or 6 years. And so having to start over, that would be hilarious to me. Like, I feel for y'all. I feel for everybody that's on the dating scene and has to go through all that. I'm in a security bubble. My 9-year-old asked the other day, she's like, Mom, what is it like to be married? And I really, the answer caught me off guard a little bit and I hesitated and I was just like, I don't know. But then it was easy. It's easy to say what it's like being married. It's that level of security. I have my partner. I always have someone to go to. There's always someone in my corner, no matter how hard things are. Like, we're never enemies. He's just always there. And that level of security, I think, is, it's a gift. Just someone to laugh with, someone to talk shit about the kids with, someone, you know, all of those things, my needs are met. I mean, he's literally my provider, protector, all of those things. He pushes me off the cliff. I push you guys towards your dreams. He is what pushes me. So, just funny, you guys. Anyway, let's get back to business. Okay. It is Microdose Monday. I hope you had an incredible weekend and I do hope you survive Cerna, the rockets and the eclipse today so we can have another podcast tomorrow. If not, you guys, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. That means find Jesus. I don't know how much time you have in your time zone. We've got till 3 p.m. before the world possibly implodes. Who knows what's going to happen. But in the meantime, and in case we do have another tomorrow, I want to talk about neural pathways. Okay. I don't always get sciencey about microdosing because I like to keep it simple, but I do think it's important that you guys understand the depth of the changes that psilocybin can make. Okay. New neural pathways are the connections that are formed between neurons in the brain when you learn something new, when you experience something novel, or you're practicing a skill. These pathways are the physical basis of learning and memory. When you learn or experience something, neurons in your brain, they communicate with each other. They're in there having a whole conversation. They send electric signals across the pathways. And over time, with repetition and reinforcement, the pathways can become stronger. And this allows for more efficient processing of information, easier retrieval of memories. Creating new pathways is crucial for, cognitive development, for learning, adaptation to new experiences. I think it's very important that we make this a part of our intention. If you don't use it, you lose it. You lose your brain, okay? If you can have intention when it comes to creating new pathways, this is going to allow you to actively shape your brain's structure. You're going to shape its function in ways that support your goals, in ways that support your aspirations. And when you engage in any activity with purpose and focus, you're going to stimulate specific areas of the brain. And you guys know not to take my word for this, okay? This is an entertainment podcast. I'm not a doctor. But you can actually go find the research where they have lit up a brain when it comes to things like microdosing psilocybin, and you can see the immediate change when it comes to these neurons communicating. But if you focus on stimulating, specific areas, prompting the new formation of connections and reinforcing existing ones, when you're intentional about this and you practice this, it's going to strengthen those networks that are associated with the actual skills or knowledge that you are looking to acquire. And this makes it easier to retain information and to actually apply it. Okay. So you're feeling like you're kind of stuck in Groundhog Day. You're on the hamster wheel. And like you have these ideas, but you haven't applied it. That's because you're not creating new conversation sequences in your mind. Okay. But doing this intentional learning, you enhance that cognitive flexibility, overall brain health. Okay. So you want to consciously direct your efforts towards these new pathways so we can optimize our brain's capacity. And there are a lot of different ways that this can happen outside of psilocybin. Okay. So if you're someone that's still like, oh my God, I just can't do it. It's illegal, Brandon. I get there's a lot of counties that are opening up. In fact, I told you guys, I think Utah is completely open. There's a lot of counties here in Michigan. So if you're in Michigan, there's quite a few counties that it is decriminalized in. So it's always possible. Okay. I mean, guns are illegal, but look at Chicago's going ham with that shit, right? Drugs are illegal, but every day someone's overdosing and getting arrested. So shit happens, you guys. I'm just saying we're doing something good. Okay. Doing something good to better the foundation of humanity, to better who we are, to better our imprint on this world, to be something great in this tapestry of life. So outside of psilocybin, I'll give you a few methods. It's that learning a new skill. When you engage in activities that require you to learn something new or to develop a new ability, like, maybe learning a language or a sport, this stimulates the formation of new neural connections. Now, what happens is that you have to practice, okay? It's part of that commitment to make sure it's something that stays interactive. You can touch on a conversation. You can have these little neurons be an acquaintance and be like, hey, what's up, homie? And they're going to pass each other and never create and connect, okay? But they'll light up because you're doing something new. But if you don't stay at it, then they don't have the chance at really getting to know each other, to stay connected. Mental exercises like puzzles, memory games, this will challenge your cognitive abilities, and it creates growth of new pathways because it's activating different regions of your brain. I know you guys are going to roll your eyes at this, and I don't give a fuck because it's important, okay? Exercise. This promotes neurogenesis, okay? Neurogenesis is that formation of new neurons, okay? Synaptic plasticity, this strengthens existing connections. This improves cognitive function and memory. Practicing that mindfulness meditation, this enhances connectivity, particularly in the regions associated with like attention, self-awareness. This is your emotional regulation. Again, it's going to foster, the development of new pathways. Something that I have always tried to avoid is social interaction. This forming new relationships stimulates brain activity. And so you're hitting up those new connections again, especially this will tap on places that are related to like empathy, communication, social cognition, getting into just new environments, new activities, exposing yourself to unfamiliar stimuli will stimulate your brain. As it's processing and integrating this new information, you're creating the new connections. So if you can get this into your daily routine, this is how you actively promote the new pathways. This is how you get out of the old cycles. And something I learned, and I have a guest coming up in the next few weeks that is into tapping, like the tapping of your forehead, your cheekbones, like literally just tapping your fingers to your body. And it does the same thing. It creates new pathways. And what happens, you guys, is that it changes your DNA sequence. Like you really want to break a generational curse. It's not just something that you say. It's not just making one decision different in the lives of your kids or the lives of your current, lifestyle. You do things that actually rewire the gene code in your body. This is where we get things to stick. This is how we come to talk about healing generations. So the more that I heal myself, the more neural pathways that I open, I'm opening up a chance for my kids to do the same. We are changing generations with our healing, with being open about brain health, with being open about, utilizing the gift that we've been given. And I it's tough because psilocybin, because of those legal restrictions, it makes it hard. It creates a barrier to access. And then we've got the social stigma, because psychedelics, psilocybin, it's historically been associated with, those counterculture movements. So there's a stigma and there's a misconception about the safety and potential benefits. And just ideally, right, we think of the 60s and everybody's just tripping balls. But that's included in like the media, makes it something that's not cool as well. This is why it's deterring more people from exploring this. And a lot of people just don't have the education. They're unaware of the potential therapeutic effects of psilocybin. And this is the thing, like, I think therapy is great, but talk therapy only goes so far and it ends up becoming something that is just like a crutch to your healing. I feel like there is a point where talk therapy is detrimental to the healing of you at your core. There is more than talk therapy. Yes, I think it is important. You need to talk to someone else. But outside of that, you have to take massive responsibility for yourself. You're not going to go to the doctor and you're not going to go to a therapist and they're not going to turn around and say, hey, I was thinking we probably should take this a level deeper. Why don't you try tapping? Why don't you try microdosing psilocybin? Like, that's not how they're wired to work with people. Okay. Most of the time, if they're going to put anything on you, it's going to be a prescription because they make money off of that. But there's just so much, misinformation. There's a misunderstanding about the benefits of this. And the limited availability is tough as well. I know when I first started, and I tell people all the time, if you want to find psilocybin, find a weed guy. And it took me a couple of guys before I actually found the guy that had a product that really, really worked for me. And that's why I share that with you guys. Like, I don't introduce anybody to him for obvious reasons. But I'm happy to be a middleman. So if you are really struggling, if you don't give a shit about, society's little taboo on here, if you don't care about the social stigma, reach out to me because I can definitely help you. And where he's at, it's decriminalized, so he's safe. And everything is very discreet. It doesn't show up in a big package that says, shroomies in this box, heavy illegal activity to come. I don't know. It's very discreet. Okay. But yeah, I mean, despite the challenges, honestly, there is a huge wave of growing interest, and there's so much research that is going into this right now. Like they, you know, especially when it comes to treating mental health, like depression, anxiety, PTSD, the scientific evidence is there. And, you know, public perception is evolving. So there's an increased acceptance of what's happening. And I think that's slowly going to lead to the integration of psilocybin-assisted therapies into mainstream, you know, talks. Maybe not necessarily with, you know, American health. You know, like there's not a lot of money in that for them if you can just, you know, go find your medicine under a pile of cow shit. But getting just embracing the idea that that it's possible for this to work for you with that intention. And it's something I teach clients is that you set that intention. What is it that you really want to focus on? It gives me a great way. I'm on my scheduled silt microdosing schedule. I don't know what you want to call it. I do take breaks, but it's usually a 3-month cycle that I'm on, and that's 4 days a week. And it's incredible. Like I haven't made it a secret. I don't love my husband's schedule. Like I'm super happy for him. Absolutely, I'm gonna support him. But it's tough on the kids and I, because we just don't see him for several days in a row. And it's hard on me. And instead of like becoming this emotion and spiraling out of control, like it's just cool. I'm not prideful. I'm not pushing him away. Like all of those things we do for self-preservation, it kind of just stops so we could be in the moment. So, you know, I'm standing in the kitchen with him the other day and tears are just falling, but I'm not like freaking out, right? Like I can feel that emotion of just like, I really loved this time with you. I want to create more, you know, more things like this. I don't spiral out of control. And old Brandon would spiral out of control and just be like, oh, this is the end. It's just not going to work. I'm, you know, anything that made me uncomfortable, I would spiral out of control. And do I know this is temporary? Absolutely. It's a season. We go through a lot of seasons. My schedule can change. Anything can happen. But right now, I know that when I was living my best moments, it was hard on him. And so that's part of marriage, right? We sacrifice for each other. And y'all, I don't want to get dumped. So yeah, I'm going to support him, right? you know, I love that he loves his job. This is the first time in over a decade that, you know, he's happy to go to work. So I don't feel like I have to weigh him down with my emotions because I'm just processing them on my own. It's not his problem I'm struggling, right? Like this is my deal, and I just have to reshape a lot of ideas that I've always had. Like, you know, the whole I used to think that, you know, it was traumatic if I had to sleep alone, which I don't. We co-sleep with the kids. But basically, he comes to bed when I'm getting up, and just rewiring that story instead of getting stuck on this will never work because I'm falling asleep alone. Like, I feel like my microdosing psilocybin has given me that opportunity to see a different perspective of like, this is okay. It is okay. And it's not saying our marriage isn't, you know, good and all those things I used to put on the weight of that statement. It has helped me so much. And it's not, you know, just the emotional level. I mean, I know it's physically doing things to my brain. Literally, psilocybin, okay, this is the active compound found in different species. It's interacting with serotonin receptors, specific receptors, okay? It's the 5-HT2A receptors. When it's interacting, this is leading to alterations in brain connectivity and activity. And that's what is increasing the communication between regions of the brain that really don't ever talk to each other. And those changes alter things like your perception, okay? And that's literally to this day, I'm telling you guys, that is what is helping me. And then it's also helping me change my perception on, you know, I'm doing a 75 hard challenge. And the first rule of 75 hard is to tell everybody about it and complain about it because it is hell. It's hell, you guys. In fact, I really have to do an episode on diet culture because part of 75 hard is literally changing your eating habits. Okay. So you got to give something up. That's kind of what Andy Frisella is expecting. So he says, choose a specific diet. I am not a fan of diets. I haven't been for a very long time. I think they're mentally just a mind fuck and they're not healthy for you. So, in honoring that, but still wanting to support my kid with 75 hard, I said, okay, well, the closest, you know, diet that I stick to is going to be keto because I eat heavy protein. And I could stand to give up the sugar and the carbs, right? So that's what I do. And in my normal everyday life, I don't care about that stuff. I just don't care. Like I can walk past, you know, mashed potatoes all day long. I just don't eat it. I just don't. The same thing with bread. I'm not a fan of bread. I don't like bread. So I can walk past that shit all day long. But the minute you tell me I can't have it, all of a sudden I'm obsessed. And this is where I think, you know, things start to evolve like binge eating. But I'm in an awareness now where I know what's going on, right? Like I know that it's important, you know, that when I get out of this, I feel like day one, I have a plan to binge eat my face off. And I know when it comes to that time, that's not going to be what happens. But it's just that idea of like, I keep telling myself, look, you're going to get to eat a whole box of Crumbl cookies when you're on the other side of this, right? When otherwise I never go to Crumbl and I don't give a shit. I get it like once or twice a year, you know? And that's why I think it's important, especially when I'm working with weight loss clients, you guys, is that if you want a bite of cake, take a bite of cake, right? Because if you don't, you're going to wake up in the middle of the night, go down to the fridge and eat the whole fucking thing. That's what happens when we tell ourselves we can't have something. That's kind of life. But psilocybin has definitely helped me and it's changed that perspective where I can see like, girl, you're really feeling good. I even posted like 10-day results in a group. If you guys aren't in there, you can message me if you want to be in there. It's just my weight loss group. 10-day results. And it's crazy. My kid was even like, holy shit, mom. And I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling good. Like, you know, sugar was kicking my ass for one. So I see that perception. I can see how I'm just feeling better. And it, I never went through the crazy mood swings. I never went through, you know, just the angry stages, the all of that. And I feel like that's because of psilocybin. You know, it helps alter your perception, it helps alter your mood and your cognition. And when it comes to like the new neural pathways, it is promoting that neuroplasticity. That's the brain's ability to form and recognize connections between neurons. And there's a combination of factors about why this works. And it's a lot of words that you guys are just going to be like, what the fuck? And I get it. But it's just an enhanced neurotransmitter signaling. Okay. And when you stimulate neuroplasticity, psilocybin is actually facilitating the formation of new pathways. And it's, you know, benefits that not just me, but like, you know, other people that I'm working with, they're getting an enhanced mood, an improvement in their mood. There's a reduction in symptoms of depression and anxiety. And all of a sudden, they have this overall, you know, increased well-being. And then creativity levels are up. They're experiencing that enhanced creativity. They're experiencing enhanced problem-solving abilities. And it's the psilocybin has an effect on your cognitive flexibility, and it's going to pull forward your divergent thinking. People have talked about their improved focus, their improved productivity. It's going to help you stay energized without distracting effects that, you know, you get from other things. Like I know marijuana was a whole thing about like moms microdosing marijuana and whatever. You're still getting a different side effect. You're getting a different distracting effect. And I think that's why it was successful for them because I know it kicks my ass. I don't have a great time with that. It's such a distraction and it pulls me from the core of who I am, where when you microdose psilocybin, you don't feel anything outside of that. But you do get like a heightened sensory perception. You get this deep appreciation for the environment, and all of a sudden you feel more connected and you feel more mindful. Like there's no haze, there's no fog, you're just very clear. It enhances and improves your social interactions because you have that empathy, you have emotional openness, and people feel that. Like they will magnetize themselves towards you. And you're gonna start, feeling that deeper connection. I've not had anyone at all in however long I've been talking about this on the podcast, probably since for a year. I've been doing it for a couple years now. I've never had anybody come to me with a negative experience. No one. Like it has all been positive. And everybody sees something. Everybody. I think it's a gift. And I think you should do more research and check into it. And if you are looking to get your hands on it and you don't have a weed guy, then make sure you message me so I can get you set up. I do help people. Wherever you are in the journey, if you have a weed guy and you find the psilocybin, make sure you message me so I can give you important instructions to the success of navigating your perfect dose. I'm always pretty spot on with where I get my clients started. But it's a flexible window. We just move a little bit to navigate to what's best for you. I think the worst thing that ever happened to me when I took more than I really actually needed, still a microdose, still very much under the radar of, the tripping balls. I yawned a lot. Like I yawn a lot when I have taken a little more than what I really should have. So just little things. And that wasn't even a big deal. I still felt amazing. I was still present, coherent. It's given me an opportunity to just be and to be a very connected parent, a connected spouse, like to just be in this moment. And able to deal with my own stuff. Like I don't carry the weight of anything anymore. And I'm intentional about handing off a lot of things to God that aren't my business. But I think psilocybin has always been an underlying support in being able to do that and in being able to feel, just being connected to the world of creation of everything around me. So you guys enjoy your day. I love you. I'll see you guys tomorrow, hopefully, right? If everything goes well with the eclipse and I don't know, I guess we're getting cicada bombed as well. I don't know about that and I don't know if it really happens here, but just a lot going on and because of social media and all the things we hear about all of it. And listen, bitch, dream big. Life is too short to play small. Embrace who God called you to be. Own your shit and be brave. As you step into your full potential as a co-creator, until next time, love yourself in the moment. Flawed. Baby, you are beautiful. This is Brandon Lynette reminding you of your potential with a side of chaos. You're in the arena. Keep swinging.